From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Audie Cornish. As the death toll mounts in Syria, diplomats around the world are scrambling. They're seeking new initiatives to persuade Syria's president to silence the guns and give up power. But the violence has only intensified since last week, when Russia and China blocked a UN resolution supporting peace proposals from the Arab League. We begin this hour with a report on what the U.S. and its partners are trying to do. It comes from NPR's Michelle Kellerman.
Like other international diplomats, Turkey's foreign minister, Ahmet Davutoğlu, is still reeling from Russia and China's refusal to back the Arab League's proposals to solve the crisis in Syria.
It was a typical Cold War picture, which we do not like to see. And we will pay the price. Today we have 12,000 refugees in Turkey. Tomorrow I don't know how many.
Davutoğlu says Turkey's borders will remain open to anyone escaping Bashar al-Assad's regime, and he says he wants to do more to help people inside the country.
If this humanitarian tragedy continues, of course there should be some ways for the accessibility of food and medicine to these people. And here, international community has a responsibility to protect innocent people.
He won't say how, but insists this is not another Libya and that there's no talk of military intervention. Davutoğlu says he still holds out hope that Russia will make a new assessment now that Assad seems to have broken his promises and intensified the shelling of Syrian cities. Davutoğlu says Turkey, too, had held out hopes that Assad would be a reformer, but gave up on that idea last year.
We wanted Bashar Assad to be Gorbachev, but he preferred to be Milosevic of Syria, not Gorbachev.
And Homs today, he says, looks a lot like Sarajevo under siege. Davutoğlu is to meet Secretary of State Hillary Clinton Monday. State Department spokesperson Victoria Nuland says the U.S. and its partners are trying to put together a Friends of Syria group. Though they haven't quite settled on a name or a venue for their first meeting, they know what they want.
The goal of all of the countries and partners that we expect will participate in this is to support the kind of plan that the Arab League put forward, which spoke very clearly about a democratic transition in Syria.
But just how to get there will be a challenge, says Andrew Tabler of the Washington Institute for Near East Policy.
The question is, what can this group really do to stop the killing in Syria, and what can it do to get humanitarian relief to those that are dying? And that's where they're coming up with far few answers than people would expect, given the degree of carnage in Syria.
The armed opposition might be able to play a role in setting up humanitarian corridors or buffer zones, Tabler says, but so far the U.S. has kept the Free Syrian Army at arm's length. He says there's a lot of debate in Washington about that now.
I think it comes down to, well, if the U.S. is assisting the Syrian opposition, what do they do concerning its armed element? And that's where, you know, do you provide non-lethal assistance, lethal assistance, whatever it is, it's a fact on the ground that the U.S. is struggling to deal with, and they're going to need to do that if they're going to hope to drive the death tolls down and hopefully improve the situation in the short term.
The foreign minister of Turkey estimates that 40,000 soldiers have defected from the Syrian army, and though some have gone to Turkey, Davutoğlu says his country is not arming or training them. He didn't want to talk about tactics under discussion now, saying only his overall goal is to promote a new Syria where people can choose their leader.
Syrian people should decide for the regime. Not Bashar Assad himself alone. It is not property. Syria is not personal property or family property of Bashar Assad.
And the Turkish official says it's vital now for the world to send a signal to Syrians that they're not alone. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.